السلام السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. So alhamdulillah, this is the 59th session of Seerah Nabawiyyah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a little review of what we were doing last week. We talked about the treaty of Medina Munawwara, the treaty between the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba, the Jews, and even the pagans, the mushrikeen of Medina. We also talked about the interactions between Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Jews, the Yahud. So, for example, if you guys remember, one of the things they would do is they would come and curse the Prophet ﷺ, or try to curse the Prophet ﷺ, and they would say, "Assam alaikum," meaning death be upon you. And Aisha radiallahu anha would become very upset, and she would respond angrily to them that may death be upon you and the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah ﷺ told her that, "Did you not hear what I said to her?" Meaning she said, "Did you not hear what they said to you?" And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Did you not hear what I said back to them?" The Prophet ﷺ would say, "Wa alaykum," meaning that death, whatever curse you're trying to send upon me, may it go back to you. And my dua is accepted, and the dua that they are making for me is not accepted. So that was one of the interactions. We also talked about the fake sneezing, where they knew that the Prophet ﷺ is the final messenger, and they would try to come near the masjid, and they would fake sneeze and say Alhamdulillah loudly, trying to get the Prophet ﷺ to say Yarhamakallah. So we know when someone sneezes, we say Alhamdulillah, and then you do the tashmit al-atis. You respond by saying Yarhamakallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon you, and then you respond by saying Yahdikumullahu yuslih ba'alakum. So they would try to do that, and the Prophet ﷺ knew what they were up to, and he would not say it. Now, this is showing the importance that they gave on Tashmit al-Atis. And there's a beautiful story I wanted to share with you. This is related in Fath al-Bari by Ibn Asqalani, rahimahullah, Abu al-Hajar Asqalani, rahimahullah. He says that the famous muhaddith Abu Dawood, rahimahullah, Abu Dawood rahimahullah, from Sunan Abu Dawood, one of the Siha Sitta, the six main books of Hadith. Abu Dawood rahimahullah was once in a ship, in a safina. And as he's in that ship, they were traveling, they were basically, leaving the city or the port. And as they're leaving, he hears someone on the shore sneeze. And Abu Dawood rahimahullah, he pays the sailor, or the captain of the ship, you could say. He pays him, he gives him a dirham. He says, "Just do one thing for me. I want you to go back, turn around, go near the sahil. I'm not asking you to stop or anything. I didn't forget anything, nothing like that. Just go back and then come back again. That's all I want." And he said, "Okay, he'll do that." So he goes as close as possible as he can to the shore. And Abu Dawood says to that atis, the one who sneezed, he says, "Yarhamukallah." And the man responds by saying, "Yahdikumullah wa yuslih balakum." He makes the dua for him. Now the people, they asked Abu Dawood, rahimahullah, "Why did you do this? Why did you go through all this trouble? You're traveling, you're going. Why did you go through all this trouble to come back, circle around, just so you can make dua for him and then get his dua?" And Abu Dawood rahimahullah, he says, "La'allahu mustajabu da'wa." That maybe that person is mustajabu da'wa. Maybe that person's du'as are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I need to get his du'as. So he circled all the way back and he says, "Yarhamakallah." That man says, "Yahdikumullahu yuslih ba'alakum." And then he goes on his journey. Now it's related that when they went to sleep that night, when they laid down in their beds, everyone in the ship who lay down, they heard qailan, they heard a person call out, and they didn't know where the sound is coming from. And this qail, this person, this voice called out, saying, "Ya ahl as-safina, O the people of the ship, inna Aba Dawood ishtara al-jannah min Allah bi dirham." That, O the people of the ship, Abu Dawood has verily purchased Jannah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with one dirham. Just that one dirham he paid to go and, you know, fulfill the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was given the glad tidings of Jannah due to that. So this shows us, you know, the importance of even a small thing. When someone sneezes, for example, and they say Alhamdulillah, we are supposed to respond by saying Yarhamukallah, and then they respond in turn by making dua for us. Now, one of the things, I think I didn't mention this last week, but the Prophet ﷺ, in his interactions with the Jews, one of the things that when they first came to Medina Munawwara, the Prophet ﷺ, he saw that the Jews were observing the fast of Ashura. Okay? The fast of Ashura. So, anybody know what is the, which month is the Ashura in? Muharram. It's the first month of the Islamic calendar. It's the, and Ashura means the 10th. So you have the 10th day of Muharram. Okay? And we know that it's famously known or infamously known for the day that Ali, Hussein ibn Ali radiallahu anhumah, he was martyred. He was given shahada on that day, along with many of the Ahlul Bayt. They were killed on that day. That's what people know it for. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is years before that occurred, he asked the Jews, why are you guys fasting on this day? And they said that this is the day Najjallah Musa alayhi salatu wasalam wa qawmihi. So Musa alayhi salam and Banu Israel were saved from Fir'aun and his army on that, the day that Fir'aun and his army were drowned in the water in the sea. That was the same day of Ashura. Also, it's said that Nuh alayhi salam, not in that same hadith, but from somewhere else, but Nuh alayhi salam, when he finally stepped foot after the flood and after the water had subsided and they stepped foot on land again, dry land again, it was the day of Ashura. There's other things also. For example, they say that Yunus alayhi salam was taken out of the whale on that day and some other things. So, the Prophet ﷺ, seeing that the Jews were observing this day as a day of fast, he ordered the Muslims to fast that day. And he said, the Prophet ﷺ, he says, فَأَنَا أَحَقُّ بِمُوسَى مِنْكُمْ. I have more right over Musa alayhi salam. I'm closer to Musa alayhi salam than you, meaning than the Jews. فَصَامَهُ وَأَمَرَ بِصِيَامِ. And then he fasted himself, and he also ordered the Muslims to fast. So in the beginning, actually, it was fard. It was fard to fast the day of Ashura. And then after that, it was made sunnah. And then you had the fasting of Ramadan. That was the only fard fasting. So, and some other interactions. So we know that's some of the interactions, the negative interactions where, for example, the Jews were trying to curse the Prophet ﷺ, where they were trying to, you know, they were scheming and plotting and that kind of stuff. And we'll learn about some other in the future. For example, when they disrespected one of the Muslim ladies who was in the bazaar buying something from their souq, and they disrespected her, and that was one of the reasons why they were exiled. That was the first time. And there's other reason, times when they actually try to kill the Prophet ﷺ. So we'll learn about that in the future, inshallah, when the time comes. But those are the negative, you could say, interactions. Now, the positive interactions are not mentioned. Even the, you know, like I was saying last week, the Jews, they accused the Prophet ﷺ of doing dhulm on them. And they say the Prophet ﷺ was out to get them, basically. And they don't mention the multiple stories of the positive, how the Prophet ﷺ would honor them. Like, for example, the fasting of Ashura. That's an honor to them, because Musa ﷺ, that's their prophet, right? So the Prophet ﷺ honoring Musa ﷺ, the Muslims honoring Musa ﷺ, that's also a positive, but they don't mention that. Another example, for example, there's the hadith related by Imam Bukhari rahimahullah and the authority of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. He says that there was a ghulam min al-yahud. There was a young boy from the Yahud. Kana yakhdumu an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he was a khadim of the Prophet, meaning he would, this is a non-Muslim, a Yahudi, he was a Jewish boy, he was in the service of the Prophet ﷺ. He was a servant bringing water for wudu, for example, going out on errands, taking messages, for example, to the Sahaba. Remember, there was no phones and, you know, that kind of stuff, WhatsApp, and that wasn't there. So they would send someone with a message, go and call them, or, you know, go and say this to them or whatever. So this Jewish boy was serving the Prophet ﷺ, famarid. So he became sick. He got sick. فَأَتَاهُ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم يَعُودُهُ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم came to him, عِيَادُهُ الْمَرِيدُ, to come and visit the sick. And we know the benefit of visiting a sick person. For example, if you visit a sick person in the morning, or in the, you know, the morning or daytime, then 70,000 angels are deputed to make istighfar and dua for you all the way to the evening. If you go in the evening to visit a sick person, then 70,000 angels make dua for you all the way to the morning. So the Prophet ﷺ went to visit a Jewish boy. Okay, I want to, you know, emphasize that. He goes and visits him, and the Prophet ﷺ goes and sits on the bedside where his head was, and the Prophet ﷺ calls him, giving him da'wah. He says, Aslim, become Muslim. So this boy, فَنَظَرَ إِلَىٰ أَبِيهِ, his father was in the same room. He looks towards his father, basically seeking permission, that what should I do? He's asking me to become Muslim. What do you say? My father, his father is in the room. So he says, he looks towards his father. وَهُوَ عِنْدَ رَأْسِي فَقَالَ لَهُ أَتِعْ أَبَا الْقَاسِمِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. So this Yahudi father, the Jewish father, says to the son, obey the command of Abu al-Qasim. He says that to his son, fa aslam. So his son becomes Muslim, and the Prophet ﷺ, it's reported that he came out with such a huge smile on his face. He was so happy. He came out of the house, and the people asked, "What makes you so happy, Ya Rasulullah ﷺ?" He says, "Alhamdulillah, الذي أنقذه من النار." May Allah, all praises be to Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, the one who saved him from the hellfire. That's how happy he was that one soul accepted Islam and now he will go to Jannah. So you see the positive, you know, interactions also. There's another example where the Prophet ﷺ was sitting in the Masjid Nabawi and a janazah, a funeral procession went for, remember, Baqi, Janazah al-Baqi is very close to the Haram, Masjid Nabawi, right? So that's where they would bury their dead. Everyone would bury, the people of Medina would bury their dead. So the Prophet ﷺ is in the Masjid Nabawi, and this janazah, this funeral procession goes by and passes them. The Prophet ﷺ stands up out of respect to this funeral procession. So one of the Sahaba, they say to the Prophet ﷺ, "Innahu Yahudi." This is a Jew that passed away. This is the bier of a Jew. This is a funeral procession of a Jew. And the Prophet ﷺ responds by saying, "Alaysat nafsan." Is he not a soul? Meaning he was also a soul. So out of respect to the funeral procession, the Prophet ﷺ stood up for that person. So, you know, this shows us, and there's many others, don't have time to mention all of them, but, you know, many others showing the positive interactions, how the Prophet ﷺ was honoring them, and we talked about the Treaty of Medina already, and how he was trying to, you know, make peace, and they were living in peace, but then when they started doing stuff, and they started plotting and scheming, then that led to them being exiled from Medina Munawwara. Now, I'm sure one thing you've seen in the last few days, it's been all over the news, that falling of the condo, the huge building in Florida. And we see that, I think there's like 10 dead so far, and they said hundreds are missing or under the rubble. Now, how are we supposed to react to this? Okay, Muslims are not supposed to be getting happy. You don't say, oh, they deserve it, na'udhu billah. We don't say that kind of stuff. But we, just like the Prophet ﷺ stood up for the funeral procession, they are souls, they are the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also they have died without iman. So what we should have is regret, and we should have sadness that they died without iman. And we should have worry that we will be asked on the Day of Judgment, what did we do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What did we do for the efforts of deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How much time did we give to spread the message to of Islam and remind the people of the Creator and remind the people of our destination, which is back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and either to Jannah or Jahannam. So this is what we should be feeling and towards this. We also talked about the new type of enemy, which was the munafiqun. So we talked about the munafiqun who were hypocrites, and we talked about the two types. Remember, amali and i'tiqadi. We all, unfortunately, Allah protect us all and forgive us all. We all have some type of nifaq, amali, meaning in our actions. In our laziness, and that we all have that. Allah protect us from that and forgive us. But i'tiqadi, meaning those who were outright disbelievers. In their hearts, they did not accept Islam, but they acted like they were Muslims. Okay, so that they can get into locations in the masjid and get to meetings where they otherwise wouldn't have access to. And they can spread, you know, the news, and they can plot and stuff like that. So we talked about Abdullah ibn Ubay, how he was one of the, he was actually the leader of the munafiqeen, and he acted like he was a Muslim, and until he died, he kept on doing that. And Imam Suhail, mashallah, he's been doing in the last, I think like 2 months or 3 months actually, he's been talking about Surah Munafiqun, and in very good detail, he talked about the munafiqun, he talked about Abdullah ibn Ubay, actually just yesterday, he talked about the death of Abdullah ibn Ubay. So we'll get to that those parts, inshallah, in the future when we get there, inshallah. But that was a new type of enemy that came out from when they moved to Medina Munawwara. Now, one of the things, inshallah, I'm going to talk about, and this is the main part of the talk today, is the tahweel of the qibla, the changing of the qibla. So, first of all, why was the qibla changed? Okay, and basically what happened, what exactly does it mean by tahweel of qibla? And we know that the Prophet ﷺ in Isra wal Mi'raj, the Prophet ﷺ was given the 5 daily salawat. And during that same time, the ulama say, he was ordered to pray those fara'id towards Jerusalem. Not towards the Kaaba, but towards Jerusalem. So in Makkah Mukarramah, the Prophet ﷺ, he loved the Kaaba so much, and the Muslims follow suit. He would stand in Rukun Yamani, and basically he would, the south side of the Kaaba, and facing both the Kaaba and Baitul Maqdis or Jerusalem, he would pray towards Jerusalem and pray towards the Kaaba at the same time. Okay, so he would do both at the same time, and that was from Isra wal Mi'raj up to the Hijrah. After the Hijrah, the Prophet ﷺ would pray. Now he was in between. Medina Munawwara is in between Makkah to the south and Jerusalem to the north. So the Prophet ﷺ would pray towards Jerusalem alone. And we'll talk about that in a second. So why was this done? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala order the Muslims to face Jerusalem? And why was it changed back to Makkah Mukarramah? We'll talk about that inshallah. So first of all, we know that this was a fitna, a test for both the believers and the disbelievers. A test for the believers, that those who have iman, so that they can strengthen their iman and they can become good Muslims, and they will basically, they become purified after this test. And a test for the disbelievers, so that they, like the impurities, you know, when a person, a blacksmith, takes the steel or the iron, and he takes it and puts it into the furnace, into the hot burning blazing fire, and that's to take out the impurities, and so that the strong steel will remain, and the iron, pure iron will remain. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends tests and trials. This was one of them, so he can liyumiz, so that he can make differentiate min al-khabith min al-tayyib wal-khabith, meaning basically putting the pure and the impure, separating the two. So that's what the reason was behind this. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, and the ayat about the tahweel of qibla are found in the second juz of the Quran, second surah of the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah. And in ayah number 134, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وكذلك جعلناكم أمة وسطا لتكونوا شهداء على الناس ويكون الرسول عليكم شهيدا وما جعلنا القبلة التي كنت عليها إلا لنعلم من يتبع الرسول ممن ينقلب على عقبيه وإن كانت لكبيرة إلا على الذين هدى الله. So and then to the end, ila akhir al-ayah. So to the end of the ayah. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we did not change the qibla from that which you were on, except لِنَعْلَمْ مَنْ يَتَّبِعُ الرَّسُولِ, that who will follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the one who will turn away. They will turn on their heels and they will turn away from the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the test that was given. Now, the test for the people of Makkah, for example, the Muhajirin, when they came, remember, the people of Makkah, they lived around the Kaaba their whole lives. The Prophet ﷺ lived around, ever since he opened his eyes, he saw the Kaaba, this beautiful structure in front of them. And they would live around the Kaaba. They would see the people doing tawaf. They would see the people worshipping. Regretfully, there would be, you know, idols there too. But they would see the Kaaba, and they would have this awe and respect for the Kaaba. Okay, they had this love for the Kaaba. So, you know, like I mentioned in the past, where the Prophet ﷺ would say when he was leaving Makkah, he said, "How beautiful you are, and how beloved you are to in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to me. And if it wasn't for my people who were forcing me out, I would never leave." So they had this awe and love and respect for the Kaaba. And this test was given that those who loved the Kaaba, will they stay on their jahiliyyah and their pride of being from Makkah, for example, and continue to pray to Makkah, or will they answer the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and turn towards Jerusalem, which they were not accustomed to, and they were, you know, they wouldn't pray towards. So that was a test for them. Also the test for the Jews, you know, to see, will they realize the truth that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that same final messenger that they were waiting for, and that they were foretold and prophesied in their books, and the same one that will come and change the Qibla, that the change the Qibla from Jerusalem to the Kaaba. And one of the things the ulama say about this is that this shows that when the tahwil, when it was changed from Jerusalem back towards the Kaaba, this shows to the Jews, this is telling the Jews that this final messenger has come, and he is basically taking back Islam, the deen, the religion of Allah, is being taken out of the hands of Banu Israel, from the people of Jerusalem, basically. You know, Ishaq alayhi salam and the people, his children from Jerusalem, and is being put into the lineage of Banu Ismail, back to the Kaaba, who Ismail alayhi salam, along with Ibrahim alayhi salam, they both built the Kaaba. So this is a sign to them, showing them that. And this is a test for them to see if they will continue to obey or not. Now, the people, like, okay, so I mentioned how the Prophet ﷺ would pray in Mecca between the Kaaba, behind the Kaaba and then facing Jerusalem. Now, when he went to Medina, he was not able to do that anymore. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed an ayah, قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهِكْ فِي السَّمَاءِ, that we see you're continuously looking up to the heavens. The Prophet ﷺ, ever since he moved to Medina Munawwara, he did hijrah to Medina Munawwara, he always had this in his heart that he wants to be able to pray towards the Kaaba again. But he followed the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so he had to pray towards Jerusalem. But he, in his heart, he wanted Allah, and he kept on asking Allah to turn it back towards the Kaaba. So one of the things that he would do is he would start looking up to the sky, waiting for Jibreel alayhi salam to come down with the revelation that he can turn back to the Kaaba. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this ayah that we see you're continuously looking up to the skies, to the heavens. فَلَنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَاهَا. So soon we will surely turn you back towards the Kaaba, towards the Qibla that you are pleased with. Okay, so that ayah was given. And this is actually like tasliya or tasalli in Urdu. In English, what is that when you... Anybody know what's the translation for that? It's like when you when someone feels bad about something and then you give them words of hope. There's a word for it. I forgot what it's called, but
solace.
Okay, jazakallah khair. So that's probably the word. Okay, so that's tasliya in Arabic or tasalli in Urdu. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is not the only time. There's actually many examples of this in the Quran. For example, in Surah Al-Duha, and we talked about this actually earlier, when the Prophet was first given the Quran, the ayat of the Quran, and he started teaching the people and calling towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the people started. There was a time where the Fatrat al-Wahi, when the Wahi was stopped, and the people started coming to the Prophet ﷺ, especially his aunt, Abu Lahab's wife, and she would say, what happened? Where is that shaitan that was coming to you and giving you ayat or giving you revelation? Where did they go? And they were trying to make the Prophet ﷺ feel bad. Now, the Prophet ﷺ, he didn't care about what they were saying, but he felt maybe I did something that made Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upset with me, and that's why the wahi had stopped. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayat that Surah Al-Duha, وَالْدُحَا وَالْلَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not abandoned you, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not left you, nor has He abandoned you. You basically you are still the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so don't worry. This is in the knowledge of Allah and the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this is being done. So he's giving solace there. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't worry about what they say. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not left you, nor has He abandoned you. Another example where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَعَلَّقَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ, that perhaps you, like, because of your grief over them, that you're calling them towards Islam and they're not listening to you, so you're so worried about them that what's going to happen to them, what's going to happen to their akhirah, that you are in this state that you might even eventually, because of the worry and grief, you might kill yourself thinking over them. And the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ أَلَّا يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. This is Surah Al-Kahf, I think, right? Surah Al-Kahf. Barakallahu feek. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving him solace again, that, you know, take it easy. That you give your message, and it's up to them to decide. Basically, the hidayah is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If they want hidayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to them. If they don't want it and they're not deserving of the hidayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not give it to them. Okay, so one thing about the length of this order. So in the hadith, it's mentioned 16 to 17 months that the Prophet ﷺ prayed towards Jerusalem. But we know it was longer than the ulama say. It was approximately about maybe a year and a half, 2 years between the Isra wal Mi'raj and the Hijrah. And then there was 16 or 17 months after the Hijrah in Medina Munawwara, where the Prophet ﷺ was praying towards Jerusalem. So a total period of approximately about 3 years, 3+ years, where the Prophet ﷺ and Sahaba were praying towards Jerusalem. Now in the hadith it's mentioned 16, 17 months. The ulama say because in Mecca the Prophet ﷺ was praying towards the Kaaba and Jerusalem. In Medina he was praying towards Jerusalem by itself. So that's why only 16, 17 months are mentioned basically. Now Masjid Qiblatain is the famous masjid where it's mentioned actually up to about... I would say maybe 10 years ago or maybe a little bit more than that, where they actually had two Qiblas in the masjid. They had a place where showing where the old Qibla was and the new Qibla. It's called Masjid Qiblatain. And the ulama say that this is the masjid where the Prophet ﷺ was there. He was visiting one of the Sahaba who was sick. And while they were praying Salatul Zuhr or Salatul Asr, the Prophet ﷺ was in the middle of the prayer. The ayat came down, where the Prophet ﷺ was ordered to turn back towards the Kaaba, and in the middle of the prayer he turns towards the Kaaba, and the Sahaba all followed suit and they prayed the rest of the prayer towards the Kaaba. Now this ayah, this is ayah number 144 from Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, فَوَلِّي وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. So turn your face towards Masjid al-Haram, meaning the Kaaba. وَحَيْثُ مَا كُنْتُ كنتم, and wherever you are, فَوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ شَطْرًا. And wherever you may be, turn your face towards the Kaaba. وَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ لَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. And the ones who were given, this is talking about the Jews and the Christians, that they know that this is the truth, that they know that this is going to happen. وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا يَعْمَلُونَ. So this ayah was revealed while the Prophet ﷺ was leading the prayer, and they turned towards the Kaaba again. Now the ulama say this was on the 15th of Sha'ban, the month before Ramadan, about 15 days, half a month before Ramadan. 15th of Sha'ban, that's when the tahwil of the Qibla back to Makkah Mukarramah occurred. And one of the things about Masjid Qiblatain is that it's called Masjid Qiblatain. It has that name because of the tahwil of Qibla occurring in it. We know that all the masajid, Masjid Quba was the first masjid of Islam. Masjid Nabawi, any other, you know, masjid in the ahya, in the small, you know, the small areas or the neighborhoods, wherever they had a musalla or masjid, they actually had two qiblas. So up to the 15th of Sha'ban, second year of Hijri, okay, 16, 17 months after the Hijrah, all the masajid that were there, Muslims were praying towards the Jerusalem. And so all of them had to be changed towards the Mecca. So all of those masjids actually are Qiblatain, but this masjid specifically gets the name Masjid Qiblatain because the Prophet ﷺ was praying in it when the Qibla was changed. That was 16, 17 months after the Hijrah, and the Prophet ﷺ turns, and then from there on the Qibla. And now again, I'll repeat that one thing again, inshallah, is that this is a sign to the Jews that this religion has gone back to Bani Ismail. It's been taken out because they were not worthy. They left the religion. They did not, you know, follow the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So basically, because they're not deserving of it anymore, it was taken from them and it was given to someone else. In the same way, we see that in our time, you know, from the Sahaba, after the Sahaba, years later, from the Abbasids, who were actually from the relatives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hukuma, or the, you know, the leadership of the Muslim Ummah was taken out from them and given to the Turks, to the Ottoman Empire. And then after that, even the Muslims, you know, the Ottoman, they degrade everything, you know, getting away from Islam, and we see that now we have no Khilafah. And when it comes back, Allahu A'lam how it's going to be again, inshallah, Allah make us from the people who bring justice to the world. But we see again, if we do not live up to the Quran and Sunnah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also take this away from us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq, inshallah, to understand this. Jazakum khair. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamu ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakum khair.